Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yesterday, we read one hadith after Maghrib Salah, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited certain activities in the masjid. One was to have gatherings of poetry, and we mentioned that the poetry that used to take place that time was worldly poetry, where people used to have an activity of competing who can say the best couplet and who can counter challenge. And the topics were all worldly, where people used to express their own honor and their family honor and their glory and so forth. The masjid is not for that. And the second thing that was mentioned was that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited people to sit in groups before Jummah Salah. And like we mentioned, to sit and catch up on the whole week's gossip, on the whole week's soccer scores or whatever, or the prices of whatever it was, the markets and that. Because that causes a great amount of disturbance before Jummah and also during Jummah time. So we hope our brothers take heed to that particular lesson and that hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We just repeated it because after Maghrib, many brothers were probably not here for the Maghrib Salah. They were in town or wherever. Just keep that in mind. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the choicest blessings He has bestowed upon us. And may the choicest blessings of Allah ta'ala be upon Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah has given us great amount of blessings which we can't even count. The blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are such, we mentioned in this morning's tafsir, that in one blessing, there are many, many blessings. Therefore, we are unable to actually count even one blessing of Allah. The ayat of the Quran is, you cannot enumerate, you cannot comprehend, you cannot understand, you cannot visualize, you can count, you can't count and get to the bottom of one blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One blessing, how it has come to us, what it does for us, and one blessing has got so many more blessings in it. So just by way of example, this is not the topic, but we need to always acknowledge the blessings of Allah, is that we speak of blood as a blessing of Allah ta'ala. If a person got no blood in his body, we know what happens, then they have to give him blood, and they say his blood is running low. Either he's got internal bleeding, they say he's losing blood, then they pump him up with too many pints of blood and 3 pints of blood, whatever it might be. So we say blood, it's such a ne'mat of Allah ta'ala. Normally it is something that's napak. If it gets on our clothes, we wash it off. It's always got negative connotations, but it is a blessing of Allah. And inside that blood, we gave an example, is this, that there are so many components which make that blood up, amongst which is the red cells that actually carry the oxygen through the blood and to all the tissues, and then takes out the carbon dioxide. And then the red blood cells are again fed by the proteins. And who does that job? That is done by another aspect, and those are called the hemoglobins. And then we have the white cells, and then we have the platelets. Each one got its own function. It's not a bayan on blood here. And then we have the plasma. So all these things put together make up what we call blood. One ni'mat of Allah. Got so many more ni'mats. And if one of those things are missing from there, our entire structure goes down. If one aspect and one of those components don't do their job, so how much of shukr we must make to Allah Ta'ala for every one single ni'mat. So among the ni'mats and the blessings of Allah, one is this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confers power upon people. He gives them the opportunity to rule. There's also a blessing of Allah. And that is also something that is naturally built into the system of humankind, in fact of this entire universe, if we want to call it. There's always been the aspect of the power, the one in charge, the dominant person, the ruler, as you want to call him. And whoever, everybody can't be the rulers. If everybody is going to say, I want to be president, then who are we going to rule? Everybody is going to say, we are going to be the king, then how many thrones are we going to have to build? So, that power Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to whomsoever He wants to. So it's a reality, it has always been there, and not only in the human kingdom, even in the animal kingdom, you know, even in the plant kingdom. In the animal kingdom, we all know that a very famous saying, the lion is the king of the jungle, it's the boss, he got the power. And in the insect world, we speak, for example, of the queen bee. So that's the boss. And every other example can be given. So the reality is this, that there will always be someone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put in power. So political influences and political power is a reality of life in any aspect, whether it's in the human kingdom or whether it's in the animal kingdom. And even if you look at the kingdom beyond us, in the heavenly bodies, in the celestial bodies also, we'll find there is a boss there. My respected friends and brothers, with that we must also keep in mind that it is a ni'mat of Allah, because through that a person is able to advance and progress his own cause, his own well-being and his own welfare. That is why in the one ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he speaks about power, he says, بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ. That khair is in the hands of Allah. And this khair is with regard to that power. So when a person has got that, it's not bad to be in power. But why many times people in power and the aspects relating to power are looked down upon is because of those who abuse power and how they become so arrogant and they start taking things for granted. They become oppressive and they do as they want to. So therefore then we find it is looked down upon. Whereas in reality it is something that is a ni'mat and a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when there is this aspect there, then there will always be somebody in charge. And that is also a cause of concern for those people who are not in charge. We hear many times of, you know, the changing and the shifting of power in different countries. That now a different ruler has come over there, or a different party has taken over there. Like now we just heard about in America, the Democrats and the Republicans. And in other parts of the world, then we say, how is that now going to augur for us as Muslimin, or augur for us as people living in this part of the continent? Those people's policies, so it creates a kind of a worry and a concern in our hearts, in our minds, in different ways. It's just normal and it's natural, because different people come with different thoughts, different systems, different ideologies. And our friend from America, we just see every day signing some other presidential thing. So we didn't know what's happening there, putting up a wall here and blocking the people there and all the funny type of things that are happening. But it affects those people who are affected. They know what they're going through. So it is the reality. Likewise, my respected friends and brothers, that also creates uncertainty in our own country. If the powers, and we are now involved in politics after 1994 in a full way, where people are voting, and we know how much of worry and concern we have got, that who is going to come in power, which party is going to rule, if this party rules, what is going to happen, if that fellow rules, what's going to happen, it creates worry and uncertainty. It impacts us in different ways, our well-being, our livelihood, our infrastructure, and generally our economy also. We worry about it. And then if the fellow that is put in there, also, and if he does all funny kinds of things, then it makes us worried that he called back the finance minister, for example, from Europe. So then we find the rent starts going down. And all these things makes people worried, the economy. So as in human beings, these are things that happen, and these are normal feelings and emotions that we will experience. So what do we do at a time like that? So this aspect of power and the rulers and the effect of it is all mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem. The first thing we do is, we don't panic. That now what happened is reshuffle has taken place, for example. Now what's going to happen? Does this guy even know how to manage his own home budget? How he's going to, for example, manage the finances of the country and all other types of things. So Allah says, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. Allah taught us the dua in the Quran. It's such a powerful dua. There are so many benefits to it, which I will not actually be going into now. But this dua here actually gives us the reality of this whole scenario, which I have just made mention of as an introduction. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, make dua, turn to Allah, and say, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. O Allah, you are the owner of the kingdom. Like we say in political circles, there will always be the boss, there will be the dude, the ruler, the king, the whatever you want to call him. Different countries have different titles for their rulers. And in the past, people had different titles also for their rulers. Some was called the Kaiser, and some was called the Pharaoh, and someone was called the Niggers. All these words were used for them. So Allah is telling us, say, make dua when you are in this kind of a situation, when you start feeling uncertain. Oh Allah, you, Malik al-Mulk, the owner of the kingdom. Malik. What is this word Malik? Malik means an owner. Defined as such an owner who has got unrestricted and absolute control of whatever he possesses to use and abuse and dispose of as he wants to. That is Malik. So in our little worlds, you know, in our own little kingdoms, in our own little possessions, whatever it might be, I own this, it's mine. I will do what I want with it. So we are the little owners, and we feel we are the owners. But it's limited actually. Our ownership is limited. Because somebody can steal it away from us. It happens so often. Somebody can damage it. Somebody can render us useless that we can use it. So you are the owner, but we just sense it and look at it. So we are owners, but in a limited sense. The real owner, Al-Malik, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is saying, don't worry of all this. Allah is the real owner. And what does he own? Malik al-Mulk. Allah owns the entire kingdom. Al-Mulk. And in Gujarati, the olden times, people used to say, Mulak ma keloche, Mulak, Mulak. It's a talk of India, Mulak keloche. Mulak was Mulk. It's an Arabic word. And Mulk could refer to a kingdom, it could refer to a province, it could refer to a country, it could refer to whatever it wanted to. So everyone who in this world is in power, he is, you know, the kingdom of Lesotho. Can't even see it on the map if you look at the big map of the world. But the man is the king, he owns it. And other different kingdoms, and somebody is the president, and somebody is the prime minister. But they're not the owners of these things. No one is the owner. They are the owners, or they are in charge, they have been put there by Allah Ta'ala, to util mulk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, O Allah, you are the one who grants kingdom to whomsoever you want. You are the one who put into place whomsoever you want. You are the one who actually chooses rulers. So people might be voting there and people might be rigging things and all that. Finally, who comes there is by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is teaching us this dua, my brothers. So don't become, very down if the person you put into power did not come, who you voted for. Or the person who you put into power, who you voted for, you think you put him there and now everything will be fine. No. Allah is the one. Tu'til mulka man tasha. That Allah is the one who gives power, position, kingdom to whomsoever he wants to. Wa tanzi'ul mulka mimman tasha. This is another reality. Allah takes it away from whomsoever he wants to. So today the fellow is put there. If it is by lineage, dynasty, then next in line he comes there as a king. And if it is in any other system, whether it is dictatorship or whether it is voting or whatever they want to call it, democracy, whatever system, somebody comes there and tomorrow that same person is put out. He is put onto place with so much of euphoria and so much of, you know, fanfare, and tomorrow they just all protesting against him. The Prime Minister, the President of South Korea, was taken into custody yesterday. And few months ago, she was the President of South Korea. So that is how Allah says, وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُثِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. We give respect. Allah, you give respect to whomsoever you want to. And you give disgrace to whomsoever you want to. That is what Allah is telling. He said, you just look at me and see how I am controlling things here. I am in charge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Doesn't matter who is in charge, what is the size of their throne, or what are their powers, and how many executive powers they are signing. Nothing doing. بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ. Here's an ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and in your hand is all goodness. بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ. This khayr, this word, is specifically in relation to power. To be in power, to be in control of matters, is a ni'mat and a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe for some it is a musibah. They say, this people came, what's going to happen to us now? But in the hands of those who have got it is goodness. Allah is saying, now you can use this to advance general goodness for everybody. It's a test. You must remember, when Allah gives us power over everything, it is a test. Whatever position we hold, it is a test. Whatever possessions we have is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is reminding us in this dua, make this dua and just attribute everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the reality. If we look at the history of the rise and fall of nations, and those of us who have had the opportunity of traveling to different parts of the world, we see the ruins of some of the past powerful nations who said, "Man ashaddu minna quwwa," who is more powerful than us? "Anna Allah alladhi khalaqahum huwa ashaddu minhum quwwa." Allah, the one who created them, he is more powerful than them. Allah himself answers it. So what we are saying, my respected friends and brothers, is that when this goodness is given, that's why it's a ni'mat, that's why we mentioned right in the starting, it's a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when was this verse revealed? This verse was revealed at the time when the battle of the trench took place. I'm not going to go into the history of that, but the Muslimin had to dig a trench very, very quickly, and which they done in 6 days, a few kilometers long, about 5 meters wide, and about 3.5 or 4 meters wide, and 5 meters deep. And we know when we go for ziyarat in Medina, they show us which part of Medina had to be defended by the trenches. Trench warfare was one thing also which was done by the Persians at that time. So, at that time they were busy digging the trench. They were frantic. They were hungry. They were tired. At that time they now didn't have time to eat. Didn't have time to relieve themselves. They come to this huge rock and they couldn't remove it. It was such an obstruction. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu calls Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who takes the pickaxe and he hits it, and part of the rock breaks, and then an entire spark is seen, like, you know, when you, because of the friction, a very bright spark in the desert at that time is seen. It spreads, and then he knocks for the second time, it happens the same, that the spark spreads, and the third time. And then Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu says, "What is this, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" He says, "You saw that." He says, "In the first spark, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed me the palaces of Hira. And in the second one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed me the palaces of Yemen. And in the other one, Allah subhanahu Hira is in Persia. In the third one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed me the palaces of Rome." So these are the palaces. That means we are going to conquer them. So this gave so much of, you know, boost to the Sahaba. We're busy digging here, we don't even have enough food. But the Munafiqeen and the Jews, they started making a mock. See, these people don't even have food. They're battling to dig a trench and they are dreaming about all these palaces and all this power. Where they come from? So that is, they were, you see, basing everything on the material and the worldly condition of the Muslimin at that time. They go, they don't even have food. And they are talking of conquering all these places. So that is what we must keep in mind. We don't look at material things. We don't look at power, and we don't look at who's friend and who's not whose friend in power. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse. He says, "Say Allah is the one in charge of the whole of the kingdom." Then this entire ayat was revealed. Then there are two very important phenomena mentioned in the next one. Tuliju al-layla fi al-nahari wa tuliju al-nahara fi al-layl. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you must say, "Oh Allah, you are the one who enters the night into the day and the day into the night." What is this? This is a sign, or this is what Allah Ta'ala is talking, night and day, we know, has got to do with the movement of the sun. And the sun is the boss. Where? In the celestial bodies. We speak about the different bosses everywhere else. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this particular sun that you are seeing, which is so bright, which is so powerful, which is so energetic, energizing and energy giving, which you so strongly and so desperately need at all times, which you depend on, this particular sun is in my control. People really took the sun very seriously. They were actually sun worshippers at one time. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, but the sun got no control of itself. Tulijul layl. Allah is the one who enters night into day and day into night. Allah speaks about the sun. لَشَّمْسَ يَنْبَغِي لَهَا أَن تُدْرِكَ الْقَمَرِ. The sun does not behove it that it can actually overtake the moon. And neither the day can overtake the night. Because all these are following. وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرِّ اللَّهَ. The sun is moving on a fixed path. كُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ. Allah says each one is rotating in its own orbit. All these words, they give us an idea of how much in control they are of someone. So if this sun, which we regard as such a great dominating power and ruler in the skies there, is so controlled by Allah Ta'ala, then why must we be afraid of human beings who are ruling here today, they're here, tomorrow they're not here? Allah says, don't worry about them. The same sun, the same earth, just let's look at the earth. The earth, 1.3 million earths can fit into the sun. 1.3 earths, if they were like that. If they were taken and put in the sun, then all of them, 1.3 will fill up. 1.3 million will fill up. That is the size of the sun and the earth. Now Allah Ta'ala is saying, this is just one earth. And in that earth, somewhere along, there's one fellow sitting there as the ruler. One little portion he's got there. And you think he's the boss. He doesn't control. No one controls. Allah controls. Allah controls the sun and the path of the sun. Allah is the main controller. So he drew our attention to that. And the second thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about is on the earth. That Allah takes out the dead from the life and the life from the dead. We don't have any control of life and death. We have always this fear of death. And we're always worried about life. So there's an explanation to that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says even that is in His hands. From a seed, you find an entire forest growing. And a dead seed. And from a mother you find, or rather from a sperm, it is dead, you find an entire life coming out. And from a mother you find a life coming out. From the life to the dead and the dead to the life. All this, who is doing it? تُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّةِ You are doing it, O Allah. And lastly, we worry about what's going to happen to the rand and the dollar and the petrol price and the economy and what and not. Allah says, وَتَرْزُقُ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ Allah, you are the one who gives rozi to whomsoever you want to, without any reckoning. It's not in anybody's hands. So while the markets are showing their trends and all of that, it's the insan of dunya ka khel hai. It's all playing with numbers and all the rest of it. The reality of your sustenance is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we shouldn't let this reshuffling and all these type of things and all this change of power and whatever else happens in the world worry us. We keep our heart connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.